Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord is with thee, Emmanuel, thou mighty man of valor. Whom shall I fear?
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Shalom, for the weapons of the warfare are not carnal. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, the spiritual war. The devil comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. Kids, me redemption, salvation, help my shield above all. Taking the shield of faith, quenching the fire, results of the wicked, the sword of the spirit, able to withstand in the evil day. Having the law to stand and pray, put on the breastplate of righteousness, women of God, garments of vengeance, fury of fire to my adversaries, my enemies, prepay and recompense. Fear the name of the Lord from the west, his glory from the rise, another sun. Stand ye still, no need to fight in this battle, the battle's already won. See the south face, another Lord from the watchtower, even in the wilderness, it's dark places, Lord. Make it rain for you, rain forever, whosoever will. Take it freely, believe in the Lord and be established. Believe in his prophets, so you prosper. For with God, all things are possible. What to say? A mistake. What the Lord say? Let the Redeemer lead his creed as a gospel. Blessed are they that have not seen. Yet have believed, he that have been in his valley, believe and receive and know his valley. I'm a soldier ready for the battle, for I'm a mighty man of valor. No evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Condemnation to every tongue that rise against me, the same for every weapon, though it may form it to never prosper. Nothing stop me from living the gospel. God searches the heart, and that's the matter. For I'm a mighty man of valor. Fear no evil, for the Lord is with thee. Don't need no signs, though you show me time and time. My salvation shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at that right hand. No weapon formed to love or prosper. Nothing stop me from living the gospel. God searches the heart, and that's the matter. For I'm a mighty man of valor. I'm a soldier in the Lord's army. No weapon formed against me will ever harm me. Endure the hardness, strong in the grace of God and the power of his might. Fight the good fight of faith, hold eternal life. Vain glory, I would rather die. To a dead brother, be angry, no need to discuss. I sleep in the dust. God deliver me from my afflictions. My adversaries talking up perdition. Mysteries of iniquity, do a already work, power, pay attention. Be not deceived, for many say that I am. Be sober, be vigilant, for the enemy seeking whom he made a vow. For me, I'm a mighty man of valor. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He's the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies, my foes, come to eat up my flesh. And I'm in distress, and the heavy fire, I know it's a test. My God, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my high tower. There's power in the name of Jesus, spiritual warfare with Jesus. Casting out demons, what's the name, Jesus? Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Keep fighting the good fight and do what's good and what's right in the sight of the Lord. Remember, this battle's not yours, but the violence taken by force. I'm talking faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do of God's diligence with a pure and whole heart. Step before the sonar, endure persecution, crown of life for the martyr. Where is our victory? Only in Jehovah Nisi. The Lord is our banner. What man of man is this equipped and ready for the battle? Simple by zealous, no matter, cause me, I'm a mighty man of valor.
Yes, hallelujah. You know what? Glory to God. I'm ready to say, ooh, wah, hallelujah, thank God. That's what the Marines say, hallelujah. I heard them say, semper fidelis, always faithful. I heard that you're listening to my voice right now, hallelujah. You are a mighty man of valor. If you are a male, I don't care if you're 70 years old or 7 years old, you're still a mighty man of valor. It's in there. You tuned into the Men's Fellowship of the Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center, Renewing Your Mind Ministries International, where the broken are made whole by God. Hallelujah. And this is Mr. E.T. Bird, and I'm on fire for the Lord right now. I tell you, that's the lecture really pumps me up, because I then begin to realize who I really am, a mighty man of valor. And with us tonight is none other than the awesome, the amazing, the infallible, the talented, the gifted, none other than a minister, Jerry Cleveland. And I call him minister because he's a minister of a reconciliation. Brother Jerry, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm blessed.
Now, didn't that selection pop you up? Come on.
Oh, my God, yeah. That was wonderful. You know, you said something right there when you said that that selection just helped to remind you of who you are.
Amen.
So many times we come about and things, life comes after us, and we feel like the enemy is coming for us, but sometimes we have to be reminded of who we really are.
Come on now, hallelujah.
Yes. We don't look in the mirror and we don't subscribe to what we see. Amen.
Amen.
But we walk by faith and not by sight. Bless God.
No, I tell you, I'm glad so many of you have joined us. I got a call just before we came on from a brother, Gary Don Wilson, said, I'm going to be listening tonight. I said, well, bless me, God. I love that when people are eager and are away, because, see, this men's fellowship is informal, and it only happens the second Friday of the month. And so when people call me and say, I'm going to be listening, they got this stuff, they in tune to this thing, because this men's fellowship came like really fast, because the first of the month was last Friday. And so here we are, the second Friday, and we got it going on. Hallelujah. But
amen.
I thank God for this opportunity. And before we get into what we're going to talk about today, Minister Jerry, I need to share a couple of announcements. Number one, of course, Sunday at 3 o'clock is our live service, and we have it in the lower level sanctuary of the Parsonage, which is 3007 Iona Terrace. Hallelujah. That's Baltimore, Maryland, 21214. Again, that's 3007 Iona Terrace, Iona Terrace. And come side entrance. We have a handicap entrance in the rear. Come and join us. We have a great time in the Lord. Also, hallelujah. The fourth Sunday of the month of October, we are having Pastor Lewis Wright and his congregation from the Bible Way Church of God in Christ to come in and minister to us, and we thank God for that. And, of course, after the spiritual meal on the fourth Sunday in the month, we have also a physical meal, a whole meal, not just a snack. We have the whole meal. So you're going to get a whole meal spiritually, and then you're going to get a whole meal physically. Is that all right?
Amen.
So I just wanted to share that with you. And I want to share this with you again. We mentioned this on Wednesday, but we're going to mention it again because I want y'all to plan for this. When any month has a fifth Sunday, that Sunday is designated as Family Sunday, and we will not have a live service the fifth Sunday in that month. In other words, there are only about three or four months in the year that has a fifth Sunday. And guess what, y'all? This month, October, has a fifth Sunday. We will not have a live service on that. So don't be showing up on October 31st, because we may not even be here. We may be in Florida or in California, or we may be in New York or I don't know where. We may be someplace, but we will not have a live service. It is going to be, there will be from archives, they will be playing a service from archives. But this is the time for you to minister to your family, your whole family. I'm not talking about you men finding a babysitter so you and your wife can go out. That's date night, and you go and do that another day of the week. On that fifth Sunday in that month that has a fifth Sunday, that's for you to deal with the entire family, to love on that. That's your first ministry, is to love on your family. And if your family don't feel love, you got to make sure you work on that. And what we emphasize in this ministry is fellowship and love. And so, again,
amen.
Any month that has a fifth Sunday, and October it has a fifth Sunday, there will not be a live service. You come by, nobody going to answer the side door. Nobody going to answer the rear door. And nobody going to be here, perhaps, because we might be out laying on the beach. No, and I told you we won't be doing that. We might be someplace else. I don't know. It may take the family. And it's going to blow some of y'all Holy Ghost-filled tongue-talking religious folk, because there are some like that. We may be at the movies. Woo! On Sunday, but we're ministering to the family.
Yeah.
That's Family Day. Every month that has a fifth Sunday. I'm trying to get it right so you understand this. Every month that has a fifth Sunday, hallelujah, we will not have live service. That is the day that we minister specifically to our family, our whole family. Again, hallelujah. Is that all right, Brother
John? Amen, amen.
Hallelujah.
That's right. The family is the bedrock
The
church.
Yes.
The family is the bedrock of the family of God.
Hallelujah.
And the family is what God holds in very, very, very high esteem.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Do you know?
It's just like any other thing or any other that has to grow and develop. It needs attention.
Yes. And you know what? This is why, see, people don't understand what we're doing. See, a lot of ministers, bishops and archbishops and all this other kind, and pastors have built large churches, 10 and 15 and 20,000 member churches. And
yes.
Family that went shipwreck.
That's right.
See, the first ministry is not your church. The first ministry is not your job. The first ministry is your family. And if you ignore the family, you messing up. You
That's
on
right.
ground. I've heard so many preachers. They're on their third and fourth and fifth wives.
Yep.
But they try to sacrifice their wife and their family for building a church. See, if somebody wants to sacrifice something to build the church, it ought to be voluntary. You understand what I'm saying?
You know what, Pastor Bird? The sacrifice to build the church has already been made, so there's no need for any other.
On that rock, that fact.
Yeah, that's right. There's no need for anybody else to sacrifice the family because God gave his family, his only begotten son.
Yes.
So yours is not included, but it is already bought and paid for, and there's no other price to be paid. So stop it.
You are so right. You know, if you are always gone and never ministering to your family, your wife or your husband and your children, and you minister to everybody else's family, everybody else's wife and husband and children, and not to your own.
Yes.
You know what they call that? They call that being out of order.
Out of order.
And see, it's God's order. He created the family first, not the church.
That's right.
Not your other stuff that you got going on in your life. Not your men's club or your women's club. Not the alpha datas and betas and stuff. That's not true. Your first priority is your family. And if you don't see that, then somebody needs to go inside your head, man. If you don't understand that, see, life is going to go inside your head because your wife is going to say, this ain't working.
Mm.
You teach your wife like you treated her before you got married. Now, if you treated her bad before you got married, then your wife is crazy to have married you.
There we go.
But let me stop there. I think that's enough about announcements. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, we're talking about, we're already talking on the subject, Mr. Byrd, that is the man, the men's day. That is that this is men's day and how men treat their family, starting with their wives.
It starts with your wife.
It starts with the wife. The wife is the numero uno. Yes. She's the numero uno, and then everybody, the children, and then everybody, of course, everybody else after that. But that is the nuclear family of the family of God, of the structure that God has given us, the order of things. We're talking about order. The order of things that God has given us to follow. That's his example. And so we have to, and we were talking, you know, it's a funny thing. We were talking about that at work today. We were talking about how people don't like to do math. And I'm not a mathematician. I never got good at it. But people don't like it so much because it demands order. It demands steps. It demands do this first, do this second, do this third, and so forth and so on. So if you don't like order, if you like mayhem, and if you like today, dysfunction is a huge commodity. And when I say commodity, I mean people buy it on TV. They look at it. They listen to it all the time. They bring it into their household, and they try to mimic it. But it is out of order. So I'm talking about a lot of this TV, a lot of the TV shows that we show today.
Yeah, that's right.
They're out of order. But people love it because somebody comes out and talks about, I'm going to beat her up. I'm going to beat you up. And they start, you know, carrying on and so forth. They're out of order, but people buy it. They love
it. They buy into that. And then, yeah, as you said, they try to mimic that.
Okay. Yeah.
See, and folks, you tell them, and TV tells you this is not real. This is a show.
No.
You know, that, when they finish, they go home to their families or whatever. But you do what they do, you go to jail. Or you
there
might
you go.
Kill. Come on now.
There you go. Well,
it's important.
It's like
Yeah, go ahead.
It's like you say, they buy into it, and then they bring it home, and they mimic it and think it's supposed to work. But it kicks back at them, and it does just the opposite. It doesn't work. Well, they say, well, he said this to her on TV, and she just did so and so and so. But when I say it at home, I get upside the head. You know, whoops, upside the head. Yeah. So that, you know, that is just non-reality.
You try to bring that, look, you try to bring that kind of stuff home to some of these women, and you have, you know, some of the women we know, you're going to have a woman, a beat down. They're going to
beat down.
You're going to raise your hand to some woman. You're going to take back a snub.
Oh, my God.
A stub.
I'm telling you.
Go ahead. Yeah.
When we get into that, we buy into that. We're buying into this world system of doing things, and this world system of seeing things, and this world system of understanding things. And so, you know, this world is without Christ. When we are looking at things like that, we're absorbing things like that. We're absorbing things that are anti-Christ. And when we try to make the anti-Christ work in a Christian home, it's the two things that are opposed to each other. Is Satan going to cast out? Is Beelzebub going to cast out Satan on his own? No. No, he needs the opposite. He needs the Christ part of that. That's who cast him out.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to stay in your place.
You know,
stay in your lane. And particularly, we need to hold on to what we've got because we are the ones with the answer.
With the answer. You know, the description in Romans 12:2.
Mm-hmm.
And be not conformed to this world.
There we go.
But be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds.
Yes.
That you can prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God.
Yes, yes.
You know,
acceptable will of God.
Yes, amen. But, you know, but Jay, one thing you said to me, I was talking to you earlier this week, and I know that in life we have a lot of men, we come against a lot of pressures against us and a lot of, you know, challenges. And some
yes.
men feel like, what, throwing in the towel.
Yes.
You know, they'll say something like, say, what's the use? You
yeah.
know, they say, you know, I've tried, and they try for maybe a little while.
Yeah.
But then they say, well, what's the use? Because they still keep meeting opposition.
Right.
And we need to let them know that, hey, you got to, not only do you hold on, you got to, the Bible says in Philippians 3, I think that's 13 and 14, to get those things behind.
Yeah.
That's toward the mark. You got to press.
Yeah.
You just say, well, I'm just going to tie a knot in this rope and just hang on. You can't just hang on. You got to press on.
You got to press.
The will of the Lord. You got to find out his will and then head in that direction. Some of you men say, I'll read my Bible every now and then. You better read it every day. I'm going to tell you.
I'm telling you.
Because the word of God is like Psalms 119:105. Hallelujah. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. A lamp unto our feet. It'll let you know where you are. And then a light unto our path, it'll let you know where you're going. And if
yeah.
you're going in the wrong direction, the word of God will let you know that. And then
That's
you can
right.
make a course adjustment. You know, some of us need a course adjustment because we're headed in the wrong direction. You
yeah.
say, okay, you know, some of the men say, well, you know, my wife don't understand me. That woman on the job, she understands me better.
Hmm. Okay.
Do you talk to your wife? Or her? Well, I ain't got time to talk. And by the time I come home, I'm tired. And all she wants to do is say, honey, do this, honey, do that. And well, take her out on a date. Remember I was talking about the date night? Date night is important. For y'all, so y'all can talk and have communion together. Y'all
yes.
can communicate. Communication is like blood in a body. You take the blood out of the body, what happens?
The whole thing collapses.
The body dies. You
yes.
take communication out of a family, hallelujah, the family unit dies.
Yes.
Then hold on to God and
yes.
press on.
And that's one of the first things that the enemy wants to remove from the family is the line of communication.
Oh, yes. You know.
You're absolutely right. My pastor always uses the analogy of going to war.
Uh-huh.
And one of the first things the enemy wants to do in the war is to sever the lines of communication. So that the people who have the plans, they have the battle plan, and they want to give it out to the people who are on the field, but they can't get it. They don't know where the mines are. They don't know where the planes are coming in. They don't know where the people with the guns are. They're stuck in this battle alone. That's what he wants to do. He wants to isolate you and get you alone. So he cuts the lines of communication. You're absolutely right, Pastor Bird.
And, you know, here's something, QC. See, look, life, there's going to be challenges in life. As I tell people, you know, life happens to everybody. The good, the bad, and the ugly. It goes around in circles, comes again, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You've
yes.
got to understand, you've got to hold on to God through all
yes.
of that, but especially
yes.
when the bad and the ugly time comes, because it's ugly and it's bad. It ain't going to feel good. It ain't going to look good. I'm going to tell you, but guess what? If you hold on to God, you know what he said in his word in Romans 8:28? He says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
And some men, some of you men, you say, well, I'm just who I am. No, 1 Peter 2:9 says, we are a holy nation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. You're somebody special.
Amen.
You're not an afterthought of God. You're not an offering.
No.
I don't care who you are. You may be Bishop so-and-so, or you may be Brother so-and-so. I don't care anything in between. The bottom line, you're special in God's eyesight. You can do it. Hold on. What do you hold on to? You hold on to the word of God. You
hold on to the word.
This is a God. Boy, you're the boy. Excuse me. This is supposed to be informal, but I'm fueling my hip. I mean, glory to God. You hold on to the word.
That's right.
You guys wonder, I can't take no more. Have you read the word of God? See, that gives you strength. The word of God, seed, you can have, glory to God. If you want to be able to stand and haven't done all to stand, you got to have your whole armor on. You got to have the word of God. That's your sword. That's your, that, I mean, come on now. You get in the word of God. And every situation that you could ever come across in your life, there's an example, probably more than one. I know it's more than one in the word of God. Read
yes.
it. Check it out. The word of God is seed. And if you want, look here, you read the word of God, you're going to get a harvest of the seed sown in your life. You're looking
Amen.
For peace and contentment. You're looking for victory and all that kind of stuff. You read some scripture that talks about victory, that talks about growth, that talks about blessing. And you go to God, you're sowing seed in your life. And then
Amen.
The seed you sow is the crop you grow.
It's
Come on
the
now.
Crop you grow. Absolutely. Bishop, one of the things about this is that when you read the word of God and that seed of the word of God gets down in you and you begin to it's not just about reading the word of God, but it's like anything else that you want to grow and develop and get a harvest on, you have to practice. You have to tend to it. And people are not understanding. People are getting saved, but they're not practicing the Christian walk. So there's a disconnect there. You've got to get in, and you've got to, being a musician, I know what the importance of practicing is. And practice was something that I never got excited about. When they said to me, are you going to the practice room today? I would say, yes. Okay, because I know when I get down there, I'm going to be repeating some stuff. I'm going to do some scales.
Yeah.
I'm going to do some scales. I'm going to do some things that my fingers and hands don't really want to do, but they're used to doing it. And then after a while, they just get so used to doing it, I can just do it like automatically. But it comes, all of that comes through practice. I took my nephew out yesterday. I took him out driving. This was the second or third time perhaps that he's been behind the wheel. And he's 24 years old, and he's kind of excited about driving, but he's kind of a little bit leery of it too, just seeing, you know, how other people drive and what he's going to have to come up against. But we took him out, and he said, "Well, how did I?" I said, "You know what? Here's how you did. You are a beginning driver." And you know how we do the 10 o'clock and the 2 o'clock and the 12 o'clock and the 3 o'clock and so forth and all that. And he said we got through that. We went down the little road. It was a parking lot. And we went around the little island, and he stopped. You have to keep the car moving. Keep it moving slowly, but keep it moving so the car can know which way you need it to go. And you know which way it's going to go, but when you start turning the wheel, but you only know which way it's going to go if you keep it moving. So keep it moving, kind of slow. When we got to the end, we were out there maybe a couple of hours. He said, "Well, how did I do?" I said, "Well, you're a beginner driver, and I see all the hesitancy." But after about maybe the ninth or tenth time around that island, you began to let the car move a little bit faster. You begin to let the car move, and uh, uh, turned the wheels, and the wheels showed you which way you were going and so forth. I said you became a little more relaxed. You became better at it just in that little bit of time. I said, but it's going to take practice.
You know what? As you were sharing that, something came to me. You know, the farmer who goes out and he plants seeds.
Yes.
You know, in March.
Right.
He don't not go back out there until August or September to get the harvest. He goes out there to check it out, to make sure that the weeds are not there, to make sure
that's right. That's right.
You've got to nurture that. In other words, you've got to practice this stuff. You've got to go out there and make sure everything is doing what it's supposed to do for all that time. And when you read the Word of God, make sure that you go over that in your spirit.
Yeah.
One time, oh, well, I planted the seed. That's going to be it. You've got to go back over that and make sure. I read it again and have it in your spirit. One of the things that I've shared to folks, and I know the time's is going, but I said that everything you think, everything you say, everything you do are seeds that are planted in the earth, and they will bring a harvest. So the bottom line is that, hallelujah, you've got to keep on doing what is right. You got to keep on doing what brings life and happiness and joy and love and all of in your life. That helps get the weeds out, those things that will kill you know, the very life of that which you're trying to grow.
Yeah.
No victory in your life, and stuff happens, and if you kind of saute the negative, I mean, it's going to be trying to choke the life out of your victory. You can't happen. You got to weed that thing. Get that thought out of there. You got to think on things which are honest, which good of a good report. That's what you think on. That's glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen.
Philippians 4:8. And one of the things, man, you keep on trying to compare yourself with other men. Don't compare yourself with other men. Ecclesiastes 9:11 says, hallelujah, the race is given to the swift, not to the strong, but him that endures to the end. If you don't quit, you're going to win. If you run like lightning or you run like a turtle, if you don't quit, you're going to win.
I know
it's rough sometimes. I know it feels rough sometimes. I know it even smells rough sometimes. But don't quit. You are a winner in Jesus' name. Is that right,
amen,
brother?
Amen. Amen. Oh, my gosh.
If you don't quit. See, the enemy wants you to quit. He wants you to quit. He wants you to quit your job. See, people don't know this. You have hard times in your job. Look, every place you go, you're going to have a hard time because the enemy is all around. So you're going to have a hard time. But here's the thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You were not employed at your job. You were deployed. You know, like when my son was in the Marines, he was deployed to Iraq.
Yes. What do you mean by that, Bishop? He was deployed, not employed.
Right. And so what happened is that some businesses, some companies need the hand of God to bless them, to keep them rolling. And for some of you, if it wasn't for you being at that place, that business would go down the drain. That business would go shipwreck. You know,
it would go under.
Because you have to be forward, and you brought that Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, fire baptized, witness of the Most High God on their territory. You claim territory for the Lord. You done took territory for the Lord. The God, you have been praying, God, increase my territory. And God then has deployed you to such and such. That's increasing God's territory. If you want to hear, you done increase his territory. And you can be a light into darkness. Because when light comes, darkness flee. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Fire the book, Shaka.
When light comes, darkness has got to go. It has to find somewhere else to be. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a crack for the light to get in.
All right. It's got to be a door.
It's got to be a crack. It's got to be some way for that light to get in.
And that's why God deploys you, man. Some of you have been thinking about quitting your job. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ask God about it. Because if God says yes, that means that he got something better for you.
That's right.
Glory to God.
When you get in there, you are the light.
Yes.
Many times, you're absolutely right about that. You are the light that keeps things afloat. If it were not for you, things would bottom up. But
you know,
because God's got a child, there's a child of God in that place, you are the one that's keeping that business afloat. You don't realize it.
Yeah.
You might get a case of you might get a case of the big head, you might get a whatever, but God is using you in that place.
You know what? There's some communities. There's some football. I want to lead this community.
Yeah.
That community, you would look forward to that community.
Yes.
And some people say, well, you know, it's a lot of stuff going on. Do you know that you are a light in that community?
Yes.
And that's why you got to seek God for direction, because you may be the only thing that's holding that community together. And if you move out, my goodness, the next day you hear, boy, the whole community blew up.
Mm.
Actually, a bomb hit. You were the thing that was holding back some kind of judgment. You were holding back calamity.
Mm.
Before you make a move, you better check God out, because you may be the salvation of that whole community or that business or that church or that whatever. Glory to God.
You may be the salvation. I like that. I like that right there. You might be the salvation of that place. That's why you were sent there. That's why you were deployed there.
Come on. That's why
God put you there. He sent you over there for such a time as this. That's right. That's what you're deploying. That's what I'm getting. You were deployed there for a purpose. You were sent with a purpose. You are the light. The place was flooded with darkness, and you came, the light, and you created the only God that a lot of those people who are in that spot will see. They will never go to church.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Some folk will never go step their foot in the church because they've been hurt by bullies in the pulpit. But you know what? When your job is over, God will say, hey, it's over.
It's over.
That's when you get to step it.
You'll know it.
Yes. Because when your job is over, it's over and time for you to move on, because God got something else for you. But, you know, I tell you, the Lord is good. And I just want y'all, folks, you men out there, don't quit. Don't use alibis. You know, I think, I'm just tired. I think I'm just going to give up. No, don't give up. I know you're going to feel tired. I know you're going to feel frustrated. I know you're going to feel like you're not making any headway. But guess what? You have not seen what God has seen for you, because he knows the ending from the beginning. And he says already that you are a winner. He's already said that you are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. He's already said, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. Look here. He's already said it. Glory to God. Philippians 4:13. He always said, look here. Deal with my word. I said, hallelujah, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That's Philippians 4:13. You step into that. Put those clothes on. The I can do clothes on.
Mm. Yes.
Says, God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. Philippians 4:19. God is going to take care of your need. Step in I can do clothing. Put it on. The I can do, not I can't. See,
That's right.
You got the I can do. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens
you.
And you walk boldly. Stop holding your head down. Stop going to God. Stop going to the bar and drinking up some drink because you can't handle it. Yeah, you can handle that and more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can handle everything. You are a mighty warrior of the Lord. As our theme song says, you are a mighty man of valor. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Goodness. You can run through troops and
leap over walls.
Leap over walls. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen.
Guess what? I hear the alarm going off. You know what that means, Minister Jerry? That means that our time is up.
Oh, bless God.
Hallelujah.
Well, you know,
women are coming on after us. So we thank God for all of you men that tuned in. Hope that you got something out of it. Thank you, Minister Jerry Cleveland, for being on with us. Thank you for your insightful contributions to this fellowship on today. Hallelujah. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Now unto him who's able, hallelujah, to do exceeding abundantly above all we think or ask, according to the power that's in us, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forever, in Jesus' name. Be blessed, every man out there, every boy out there, from 7 to 70, from 2 to 22. Amen. Be blessed. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen.
Good night. And we see you on Sunday to those who are coming to service. We still have virtual service, so you can meet us at 3 p.m. on Sunday, 515-602-9787. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. Peace and God be with you.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye. Hallelujah.
Awesome.
Okay, Rachel.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We are transitioning to the Women's Fellowship. Pastor Peaches, are you there? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Minister Linda, are you there?
Yes, here.
God, hallelujah. Well, we're getting ready to set y'all up to start your women's fellowship. We're getting ready to get the the selection together. So give us one more minute. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hello, 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 beautiful women of the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. One of God's most powerful creatures. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is Pastor Peaches, and I'm on with Minister Linda Blackwell tonight. You there, Minister Blackwell?
Right here, my sister. Yes, I am.
Yes, and we are here tonight to share with the world some of the women that's in the Bible. Hallelujah. My congrats to the men's fellowship. That was awesome. I really enjoyed that myself. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And women of God, we are some powerful people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for the power that women have. Hallelujah. But we have to use it in the right way, the right place. Hallelujah. God has given us such power. When we talk about women in the scripture, we always talk about, you know, whenever you go to a place or to a service on Mother's Day or Women's Day, they always talk about that that Proverbs 31 woman. Proverbs 31 and 10 starts with verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. Hallelujah. And a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Seeth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She laid her hands to the spindle and her hands to the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet, the best. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, where he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he give praise of her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Hallelujah. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Hallelujah. This scripture is about the woman that's the entrepreneur, the woman that's married to one man, that's taking care of her husband. Hallelujah. So that he has no need to spoil. She's not running around. She's not dipping and dodging. Hallelujah. She's taking care of her children. Her children even call her blessed. Hallelujah. We know that you can be, if you aren't right, your children sure enough going to tell you. You trying to be a hypocrite, your children sure enough going to tell you. Hallelujah. They'll hear, when you think they're asleep, they're not. They overhear. They hear them conversations you saying on the phone. Hallelujah. They see you when you don't know that they see you. Hallelujah. God will allow you to catch the things on sale that you need for your business. He'll allow you when you go into the supermarket. He'll allow you to find the things that's on sale, things that you need for your household. Hallelujah. So that your household will be covered and taken care of. Even in the wintertime, he allows you to be able to find the things before the winter gets here so that you can stock your shelves up. Hallelujah. So that when the winter time comes, your household has what it needs. Hallelujah. So you don't have to be afraid of the snow. You don't have to be afraid of any types of weather that's coming up because you've already done it. Hallelujah. You speak, this woman speaks words of wisdom. She doesn't tear down her children. She doesn't tear down her husband. She speaks words of wisdom. Hallelujah. And we know that a woman of God, and we know that Proverbs 25:11 speaks of a word fitly spoken. It's like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Hallelujah. You can build up your not just your man, you can build up people with the words that comes out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Or you can tear them down. Don't you know when you speak a word, it's not like television. You know how television, you can rewind and those words or the words go up in a bubble and you can take them back out and put them back in. No, words that you speak out and people hear them and they go in their heart. Oh, my gosh, and they remember it forever. This is reality. That's why we have to be careful about what we say, what we speak, how we can use God to use our words and our tongue to speak life into people. We are so powerful. Don't you know you can encourage somebody that they may be down, but you can encourage them to start their business. You can encourage them to when they're ready to go and jump off of a cliff. You never know when somebody's at their wit's end, but you can speak life into them. Hallelujah. You can speak words to them, and you may not know just how close they were to, to finishing it off, throwing in a towel. Hallelujah. And life can do that. Believe you me, I've been to the point where, hey, you know what? I didn't expect things to go this way. I'm just a throw in the towel. And you know what? God will allow, and you know those people that say, "Oh, girl, call me when you need to call. Call me anytime. Call me if you need me." And right when you call them, you get a busy signal, you get the answering service, or you just don't get an answer at all because they done looked down, they saw your number. But you know what? Jesus Christ is that friend that stick up closer than any brother. Hallelujah. He got you. There's a song that used to say, I've got a telephone in my bosom, and I can call him up any time I want. That's how close Jesus Christ is to us. Hallelujah. We can call him up. We don't have to we don't have to worry about a busy signal. We don't have to worry about, please leave a message and I'll get back to you at my earliest convenience. No, Lord, I need you now. Hallelujah. I want you in your earliest convenience. Hallelujah. But we don't have to worry about that with the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we just thank God for the strength, the encouragement he has given to us as women. We are some of the most powerful creatures. Hallelujah. On the face of the earth. That's one woman. Okay? Find yourselves in the scriptures tonight. Hopefully, you're not the next woman I'm going to talk about. And this woman, I never hear anybody talk about. Okay? There's more than one woman in the Bible. There's more than one, there are many, many women. But a lot of times, we always talk about the good side, the good attributes. Hallelujah. But don't you know, in Proverbs, there's another woman. There's another woman in Proverbs. There may be many, but this one also stands out. Hallelujah. This woman is in Proverbs 7. And behold, among the simple ones, I discern among the youth a young man void of understanding passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way of her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without. Now in the streets and lies at wait, in wait at every corridor. So she caught him and kissed him and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore come, I fought to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved work, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. For the good man is not at home. He has gone away, gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter and as a fool to the correction of the stock. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hastens him to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hallelujah. The strength and the power some women that we have, we can say something. We can speak words that will make a man melt, that'll make a man think twice about what he got at home. Hallelujah. That's why we have to yield our members to the Lord. This woman right here, these attributes should never be once named among the women of God. Hallelujah. You may find yourself having lonely times or whatever, or thinking, oh, I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to find a man, the right one, or whatever. But you know what? When you yield your members to the Lord, when you give yourself wholly up to God, hallelujah, he said that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Hallelujah. We never have to resort to the Proverbs 7 woman. Hallelujah. Let it never be named once among you that you're winking and blinking with your eyes and talking with your feet and your toes and enticing the strange man. You're out there to bring the strange man to your home. Hallelujah. We never hear anybody talk about this one, but you know what? Saints of God, women of God, we are powerful. We are powerful creatures. We have the power to speak to someone and make them think about what they say they are. Make them think, oh, wow, am I really saved or do I really want to go home with this? Oh, my gosh, she looks good. Mm-mm-mm. But women of God, be encouraged to live for Jesus. Be encouraged, knowing that God has the man for you. If you don't have to go out and look from the Word of God. It says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. The man is supposed to look for the woman. Hallelujah. You don't have to go out to the corners like this woman to entice the man. You don't have to beck with your fingers and tell him, oh, my husband's gone or my man's gone away. He ain't going to know what up good. He done took a big bag of money, and he's gonna be gone on time. If you are married, nobody's supposed to be creeping, or you ain't supposed to be creeping, and nobody's supposed to be pipping in your house while your husband's gone. Hallelujah. You live for the Lord while your husband's there. Live for the Lord while your husband is gone. Don't give him a reason to spoil. Don't give the enemy a reason to break up. Don't allow the enemy to break up your home. Hallelujah. You can live for Jesus. Whatever you commit unto the Lord, God is able to keep. He's able to keep those members. I'm talking about the members of your body. He's able to keep them. He is able to keep. He's able to keep you. If you're a widow, he's able to keep. If you're single, God is able to keep. Hallelujah. I know what I'm talking about. God is able to keep whatever you have committed unto him. Hallelujah. Until that day, he bless you with a husband. Hallelujah. You'll be able to say, or you'll be able to say to him with a clear conscience, hey, I'm untouched. I am a virtuous woman. And he'll know you are a virtuous woman. Your price is far above rubies. Hallelujah. Nobody God bless you with a husband. Nobody will be able to, hey, man, yeah, she was the pass around pack in the sanctuary. No. This may be strange. Y'all may not have never heard this before. Hallelujah. But God can keep. God is a keeper.
Yes.
Some people say, well, I'm trusting God for a house. And I'm trusting God for a whole lot of things. But then when God says, trust me to bring you that husband you desire, then you tell the Lord, I take care of that part, Lord. I take care of that part. Why not give him all? Why not allow God to have that part too? He can do a much better job than you. God knows where that man is. He knows what kind of life that man is living before he even comes and say hi to you. Hallelujah. He knows he got any disease dancing around in his pants, or how many women he didn't already have. Because when he comes to you, don't you know, when he lays down with you, he's bringing everybody that he done laid down with. So why not trust God even in that area? God can do way more than we can. We have to trust God with everything. Use that mouth to uphold and to preach the word of God, teach the word of God, to sing praises to the Lord. Hallelujah. Tell God, Lord God, I'm your vessel. Lord God, I will stay true to you, Lord God, until you bring me the husband. Lord God, I am yours. You are my husband, Lord God, until you bring me that one that you desire me to have. Hallelujah. I will not fornicate. I will not go out looking like the harlot. I will not play the harlot's part. Hallelujah. Even in church. Hallelujah. When the church opens up, the service, whatever prayer time is there, whatever time is prayer, be there. Be on your knees before the Lord. Hallelujah. Honor God with all your time. At home, honor God with your time. I told the young people, get up early enough in the morning before you go to school. Give God your time. Women, we can do the same thing. Get up early enough in the morning before your day even starts and give God your time. Hallelujah. Give him your time. Let God know that you are his, that it's time for you and him to commune together, for him to lead and guide you, for him to bless your day. Hallelujah. He will do it. God will do it. Hallelujah. Sister Linda, please forgive me. I'm just babbling, hallelujah, talking to women. And I know you have some special women in the scriptures that you are going to share from your heart and to give us some enlightening things. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So bless the Lord, Sister Linda. Bless the people, the women all over the world with what you want to share tonight. Hallelujah.
I'm thankful for what you've shared with me, and it's enlightening, and I thank God for the word of God that changes everything and everybody, precious. I was hit with a dilemma when I'm a mother of seven, and I've got five sons, and I had one that went into the military, and I've always taught my babies about the love of God, and, you know, and when my son came home one day from the military, he'd been all over Afghan and all in Iraq and everywhere. And he came home with a thing. He said that he had every religion around his neck that you could imagine. And he said, the only reason why I was dealing with Christianity was because it was something that I was given in slavery. And I said, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. He says, Mom, there's no blacks in the body.
Mm.
I said, whoa. I said, how do you see that? I said, there's just people. He says, no. He said, we're not spoken of in the Bible anywhere. You know, everywhere you look is other people.
Mm.
And I said, I don't know about that. So when I went away, when I went to Bible college and got to studying in the Word of God and the things of God, I looked up facts in the Bible. And
yes.
It was so the women that were, well, one of two of the women who were in those tribes was Zipporah. Both of them were Moses' wives. And I didn't even know that Moses had been married twice. I thought it was just one wife who was Zipporah. But Moses lived to be 120 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And twice, and both of his wives were women of color.
All right.
And Exodus, you find that Exodus talks, Exodus talks about Zipporah when he was ran off, he had to leave Egypt. And he was in the desert, and he was thirsty and hungry, and he ran into the sheep herders that were women who had brought their sheep to the well to water them because they was out with their sheep. And the men were running the women off because they wouldn't allow them to water the sheep and all. And Moses fought for the women to come and get the water. And that's in Exodus 2:15-16, and it talks about it. And in 21, the father of Zipporah offered Moses to marry his daughter.
Mm.
And Zipporah was a woman of color. And she talked to Moses about the God in the mountain. You would hear this rumbling and thundering and purring on up in the mountains. And she told him about the God that dwelled in the mountains. And that was why Moses went up in the mountains to find this God. You heard about the burning bush. And I know I'm skipping around scriptures, but this is the story of how Moses went up and found out how to even give the Ten Commandments. And Zipporah.
Mm.
And she was a woman of color. And I'm just thinking, you know, when I'm for these things to give our children, and because a woman of color,
mm-hmm.
and I'm wondering, my baby, not colorism, but the fact that we were not a second thought, that we have been in existence before, you know, ever since God spoke. You know what I'm saying? And he created. And so I did not want to leave that out because now things, everybody is turning to what is important in their own way, and they're not seeing themselves in different places. And I realized that about my children. And I just wanted to investigate a little further. And I think in looking up, it's not that we have to, because we're all just humans. And I think the colorism came when people started making a difference in things. But Zipporah was one of Moses' wife, and the other one had no name. Okay? Again, she was Moses' wife who Sister Mary. Oh, wow. I'm so sorry, Precious.
Praise God.
Got upset because Moses was marrying again. Hold on. 1 second. I apologize. I'm on the air. Moses' second wife, his sister Miriam made fun of her, okay? I don't know whether she was upset, but she was from the land of Cush, which is also in the color of dark people. And so what God did was struck Miriam, I guess the scripture, with leprosy. And that was he took the color from Miriam, and he turned her white. And that's what leprosy was in there. He was talking about how God turned her white. I got to get this. I'm going to get that scripture for you in a second, sweetheart, so that you can understand. And God, you got to open it. I'm opening my Bible to the scripture. And I'm sorry I'm a little bit confusing in here because I...
You're not.
But in... let me breathe. I'm not used to talking publicly. I apologize. But in the second wife of Moses, who did not have a name, when his sister Miriam made fun of her, God just struck her with leprosy. And that was in, where you got me at? There you go. I'm sorry, my people, my biblical scholars here is just not giving me much. I'm flying as soon as I get off the phone, off the station. But, thank you, girl.
You're fine. Hallelujah.
I'm just saying, you know what? I'll be more prepared. I had it written down, precious. And I had the thing in theory. I sent it the text out to you and others, and I was hoping that we could read it together. Do you see it? It's down after. Let me see, precious.
What was the scripture you gave me?
No, I gave you, it's in, I'm trying to find it. Not the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon is also concerning a woman of color. That's on,
yes.
It's in Exodus, yes. This is in Exodus because it's concerning Moses. But it tells the story of the second wife.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to find that scripture. There is some that someone possibly. I don't have it in my Bible. No. That's just, I don't have it. I apologize.
No, it's all right. And it's so good that people, that we can share with our children that there are people, that we are people of color, and that people of color are in the scripture, because sometimes we think, well, oh, we aren't important. We don't have any type of significance. We aren't this. We aren't that. And every picture you see of Jesus is a picture of my, like my mother said, an Anglo-Saxon man. You know, of a white Jesus, long curly hair. You know, and it's good to know that. I mean, it's good to be able to share with your children. The people of color is in the scripture. And whenever the Ten Commandments came on television and
yes.
talked about, I thought it was Moses, they always, Queen Sheba, they
yes.
always, Elizabeth Taylor always played her part.
Yes.
And then when you read in the scripture, when you looked in the scripture, you said, wait a minute.
Right.
You found out something totally different.
Yes, yes.
So therefore, it's God's job to enlighten us and for us to know the truth.
Right.
In all.
Well, what the Word of God says, to study, to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the Word of truth.
Yes.
And see, when you're looking at pictures and you're being told that you've been made to feel that you're less than, or that you don't belong in certain things, because we have here in America, us are descendants of slaves that have been here. Our family, for generations and generations, have been here. We're the descendants of slaves, and knowledge was kept from us until years later when they did allow us to read and all, and yet with pictures and everything. Oh, that color doesn't make a difference because we're human beings. God just made humans, and he made them, but to, as a race of people, not to be included or feel like you're excluded from something, I think it's a disservice. It's a disservice to us and our babies, you know? And not that we are more than that. We are God's people. We're not just the descendants of slaves. We are people who come from a God that never fails. We are people who come with the power to speak life and death out of our mouths. These are things that God has given us as women. As the mothers who give the bread to the children and teach, we have to know who we are and accept that God did not make a mistake with us, and that we're not less than, that we're above, even in the part of calling and healing, even in the part of the nurturing and the food and nurturing in every aspect. We need to nurture in the things of God and know that we come from a heritage that is rich and beautiful because we come from God. And that's what I think is lost in translation when we look at movies or we look in the books and we see pictures or we see ourselves excluded from things. And this has been generations of us that have not seen. And so that's what I was, when I was talking to my son, I said, don't be fooled. You know, God is not mocked. He has made a way. And this is why he tells us to study, to show ourselves approved, rightly divided. And it's not the word of truth, but the word of truth is there. There are just generations of all people there in that mm-hmm. Bible. That's what I want to do. Plus, like I said, the women have played a mighty part of making things great. Moses, when Zipporah was talking about that God in the mountain, Moses was trying to find himself. And the lady from Cush, the wife said, the second wife, when they came out of Egypt, the Cush people were people of warriors. If you look up the Cush to study it, they were people that were warriors. So she gained some stature and presence with her people and her, you know, the walk that she had with God. So he saved and changed a lot of people's lives. So, I mean, in those two ladies, he was represented so well. They stood with him, and God just moved in those ladies' lives also. So I don't want them left out like they, you know.
Her name was Tarvis.
Hallelujah.
Tarvis, that's her second name.
Praise God.
Adonai, her name is Tarvis. It says in Exodus her name was not there, but my daughter just found it. Her name was Tarvis. And the first wife was Zipporah. So that was something that I wanted to make sure that we know, sis, that it's a beautiful thing, you know, and we were not an afterthought. We were there at the beginning of things all the time. So that's what I wanted to point out. Is that good?
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah, I think it just needs to be said. When we study and research and look up things and really follow through on the translations and the things that are there, it's important to know what we're looking at and what we're reading. And
yes.
So that's okay?
Yes.
That's okay. I'm all for it.
Hallelujah.
And knowledge. Thank you for letting me speak. I'm sorry I'm all over the place. I apologize.
Right. Women are good. I mean, if all the women was taken off of the face of the earth, you know what? When Jesus Christ, who was the first one that got the news or realized about, after the burial of Jesus Christ when he rose?
Yes.
A female,
yes.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We are powerful. God has, oh, my gosh, it is so much that we can do. We have the power in our hands to do, and that's why we have to stay in the Word of God, because God has such a work for us to do. He has such a work for us to do, and I thank God that He doesn't worry about gender when it comes to the Word of God, getting out the Word of God. Like some churches, you have to be male to be in the pulpit. You have to be a male and even in some churches, I was listening to one of the ministers on the television. He said when he and his wife got married, you couldn't even read the Word of God. You couldn't. It was just like a female had no place in the church. In the you came in and you sat. And I guess when you were quiet, they couldn't read the scripture. But hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus and for being able to rightly divide the Word of God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
What if there were no, just imagine now, if there were no female missionaries. Just the thing, if there were no females giving out the Word of God, women can go in some places that men cannot go. Hallelujah.
Oh.
It's not for just only for men to give out the Word. Hallelujah. God has given us a place. We are strong. We are able to speak and encourage the men. We're able to raise money and send the men out in the mission field. We are able to do so much. A lot of our roles have been in the background, but God has probably pushed women into the forefront and been able to do so much to encourage the men. Hallelujah. To get the Word of God out there. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I don't believe God looks at the the male and the female, well, you a female, you don't, you can't give out the word, please. No.
Oh, I needed to give you scripture numbers 1, numbers first, book 12, verse 1 to 10, and it talks about the Ethiopian woman that Moses had married. I'm just bringing up certain things so that I can cover what I'm talking about a little bit more clearer. And so it's in Numbers.
Verse 1 through.
What is it? Phones. I'm sorry, sis. We're on these iPhones and the different phones picking up information. 1 through 10. Okay. Numbers 1 through 10. Okay, so that's talking about
Numbers 12 verses 1 through 10.
It speaks of one of other wife, Moses' wife, and how they got upset with him. Okay, and they're still in Sephora. I think they're still Sephora.
Well, according to
okay,
God for the word, praise
yeah.
God, for the knowledge of the word of God, hallelujah, and God has a purpose. And a plan for everything and everybody.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And we thank God for his word. Thank God for the place that where he has put us in this world. The place that and the job that he has given us to do.
Yes.
Because we are the seed, we're the incubators.
Yes.
Hallelujah. If there was no female, if there was no Mary, have gotten here if he did not if Mary was not able to carry that seed, the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We have a place, and hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for the place, Lord God, that you have for us. And Lord God, allow us to continue to find our place in this life where you want us to be in society. And I believe God is strategically putting his people in places to bring out the word of God, to share the word of God with the young people on the college campuses, in the classrooms, even in the media. We need these Holy Ghost-filled women in the television, on screen, in the college campuses, in the classrooms, with the children, giving them the word of God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's how the word of God is. And it's not just the men that's giving out the word of God. But God has given us a job to do, giving out, furthering the gospel. Hallelujah.
Yes.
There are women that's going behind the iron curtains, sewing Bibles and carrying Bibles, the word of God, in their slips, underneath of their dresses, into China, into
yes.
places where they don't want a Bible. And God has given women a way of getting, slipping those Bibles, slipping the word of God into things to be able to get the word to people in these communist countries. Get
yes.
the word of God
yes.
to people that they're saying that you will be even killed if you carry a Bible. If you God has given women different ways of getting sowing the word of God into the lives of people. Hallelujah. We just thank God for what he's doing and how he works with our mind, the creativity he gives to us. Thank
yes.
God for Jesus.
Bless the Lord. Amen. Bless the Lord. Yes. Well, sis, I'm glad you got me to talk today. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. And I pray that I've blessed someone today, maybe that they can encourage their children because of the times that we live in and the different things that are going on in the world, to understand that they're very important in God's
yes.
vision.
That yes.
place in that word. They have a place and a right to that word. So I just wanted to make sure that they understood that it's nothing. God said he would withhold nothing from us that we trusted him. We trust in him. He would keep nothing from us, even wisdom and knowledge. We had to study to show ourselves approved. You know, we have to study the word of God. And it's entire, not in just pieces, but not in so far as to make a difference in color, but to make a difference in our lives that we understand who we are in him.
Yes.
That's why I put it out, because I don't want our babies out there thinking that they have no place to go, that they don't anywhere. So that's why I kind of put it out today. Is that all right?
Yes, and I encourage them also, Sister Linda, to go on to the internet to look up women of color in the Bible. They can Google it, women of color in the Bible. The link or what you had shared with me today, and they will even give it. I don't know if it's a women of color in the Bible or just females. They went from A. They start out from A. You know, alphabetically.
Women
in the Bible give you alphabetically the women's names, and they can go from one name to another. See which one. See where this person was. See what color this person was. What nationality this person was. They will see there are many, many women of color in the scripture.
Yes, they are precious, and that's what I want. Thank you so much for helping me, baby, because I told you I'm not. This is a blessing for me, so thank you so very much for helping.
Thank you so much for taking out of your evening. Thanks to you, Tiffany, for helping Mom out. It's just so many nuggets in the Word of God. Hallelujah. How God just wants us to be continually blessed, continually hiding ourselves in the Word of God and rightfully dividing the Word of truth. We thank God for that. Hallelujah. And we'll see everybody hopefully on Sunday. Hallelujah. Back to you, Bishop Byrd. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus.
Thank you both. And I just want to share that in 1990, I wrote a book called Afrocentric Footprints from Genesis to Revelation. I'm going to see if I can find a copy of that.
That is beautiful, because I've been studying and going in, and I know it sounds like I haven't been, but I've been researching and going in to find us, you know, and to encourage my children to know that you're thinking in a way that's not true, and I wanted them to understand truth and life and love, and God is no respecter of persons, and that's what I wanted to bring out so that they could understand. They're just as much as a part of this as anyone. So that's what I'm going out
to do. You have motivated me to go and perhaps republish that book, because it's time. I guess it's another time for us to know that, but there are many hundreds.
Thank you. I just wanted to talk on two of them, precious, but there's so many more that you can expound upon. And it's just, I thank you for that. That would be a blessing, because that is knowledge that they're looking for now. I think they need to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they don't do the research, we can help them find themselves, because I don't want our babies lost.
Amen.
And they have a place to be, and that they don't belong. So that's what I wanted to do for my very own, and that's why I researched. So thank you. That would be excellent. That would be good. Thank you.
Praise God. God bless you. God bless all of you. And Pastor Pete, thank you so much for the woman.
Welcome, Mr. Bird. Hallelujah.
He really needs me, and better than time. He really